Federal News Radio's Tom Temin is here, and one of the top stories on federalnewsradio.com this afternoon is this bill in the Senate to get rid of about 300 or a few more federal reports. And boy, I could hear people at executive branch agencies all across government cheering when you and Emily were talking about it this morning.
Well, you know, I saw that number, 321 to be precise, by 29 agencies. But my first question was, being the skeptic that I am, is, well, 321 out of how many? If it's 10,000 a year, well, they're not making much of a dent. On the other hand, I think that in Mark Warner's case, this is kind of a pet issue of his, is needless bureaucracy. And so in one case they cited, it's a report that takes something like 90 employees at the Social Security Administration 3 months to put it out every year. You know, 3 months worth of man hours generating this thing that nobody looks at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they probably got some of the low-hanging fruit, which is means to say that it's some of the biggest reports.
The Department of Agriculture has a ton. The Department of Commerce has a few. There's a whole lot of them in the Defense Department, and you can find the list at federalnewsradio.com. We have a link there. But when I looked at the list, there were a whole bunch of these that I went, I can't imagine who might read these reports. I don't mean to denigrate the people who prepare them or the people who do read them, but a lot of these sound pretty esoteric, Tom.
Well, I think all of these reports were generated originally because someone in Congress was piqued about something, so they built that report into a law somewhere along the line. It could have been 20, 30 years ago. So at some point, the reports become the equivalent of the ankle bracelet. At some point, you know, your sentence is over and you can get rid of it. And I think that's what they're doing.
Well, you know how it is, though, try to sunset anything in the federal government. And this is at least an attempt to do that. I'm heartened by the fact that there is a companion bill in the House, and it's Congressman Jerry Conley, locally here, and Daryl Issa, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, two guys who in many ways don't get along at all and in several ways get along very well. They're the co-sponsors on the House side, and this has potential. I mean, this might actually make it.
Well, that's right. And the House bill, I think, has 170 reports. I don't know how many of those overlap with the Senate bill. But maybe they can get together and come up with, say, 500, you know, and then they can really go to town on that.
Well, and that's – you said about your cynicism. My cynicism on this is if you're on the team that put Senator Warner's bill together, how did you decide that that 322nd report – was okay, we should keep doing that.
That's
you know, that's what goes through my head. What was that selection process like?
A good question.
Yeah.
Maybe they just did it by age when it was first commissioned.
That's a good point. Federal News Radio's Tom Temin is here, and also on federalnewsradio.com, and also on your program this morning, you talked about Jared's report from yesterday about military bases getting fewer money or getting less money in the 2015 budget request. It's an interesting way to kind of go about doing your own BRAC. If Congress won't let you do it, you just kind of starve some of these facilities.
Well, that's the problem. You know, they are like a family that needs to downsize the domicile because a lot of the children are leaving and the army shrinking and so on. So they've been talking about this for a couple of years now, and it just, I don't understand what Congress's mind is when they want to actively reduce the size and footprint of the military, why they don't let them close facilities. I think it's because, you know, a military base is like having a VA hospital in your district. But still, you know, when it's an old problem, you know, the military is fine with a top line number, but if it had more flexibility to execute that number, it would do it in a different way than the way Congress often dictates. And they, you know, Congress ends up giving them platforms and programs they don't want, but, you know, and making them keep things they don't want and not giving them some of the things they want to do. So this seems eminently logical to get rid of some of these places.
Which
but of
means
course, that's why it'll never happen.
I was just going to say you stole my thunder, Tom. That's exactly why it'll never go anywhere. You and Emily talked this morning as well about the idea that the Federal Register, the big bulk hard copy, might be a thing of the past pretty soon.
Well, we've all been in family rooms and basement rec rooms with the stacks of National Geographics.
Yes.
You might want to look at that again someday, so I can't throw it out. It's too nice a looking book. Of course, you never do look at it again.
Of course, nobody
does. And then you
die
and your kids throw them out. So I think Federal Register is something people like to have and hold, but really, you know, a given person only cares about a few pages in any given version of it. So really, why print all those, you know, perfect bound books to stack up in kind of a blue blizzard mm-hmm. in so many offices?
We've already seen a one of the president's awards, the money saving awards, given to somebody who said, "We don't need that. We can look at it online. Don't ship." I mean, on top of just printing them, then shipping them to
That's
offices
right.
around the country. The Save Awards went to a guy who suggested that, which is a great idea. We can find this stuff online, download it as a PDF in about 2 seconds, and it doesn't make any sense to send this stuff around.
That's right, and the government printing office and other agencies, there is technology out there that you can print a very nice bound volume with good economy in a small quantity situation. You don't mm-hmm. have to do offset printing.
Right.
And so if you need a few for the record, you can print 10 of them nowadays economically, this kind of print-on-demand mm-hmm. bookbinding types of technology that's come out in the last few years. And they've got it at GPO, so if somebody needs a hard copy just to put away in an archive, they can still do that.
Well, if you really needed, you know, 5 copies quick of 10 pages of something,
that too.
You can take that stuff to office supply stores and have them run at their copy centers, and they can bind them in some way that's more permanent than just stapling something together. It's not really difficult. And this concept, this bill that you and Emily talked about, fits with another one that the government printing office now wants themselves, and they want to start calling themselves the government publishing office, which makes a tremendous amount of sense to me.
Yeah, and I think that's actually going to happen. And they keep the same initials, they can keep the same logo if they want, but really that's, in a sense, that's what they've always been. Because, you know, the word publish means to make public.
Mm-hmm.
And so the printing press was only one way.
Right.
And now they have a lot of ways.
You also talked this morning about some of the issues at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They are negotiating a performance appraisal system with NTEU. Boy, how many agencies have tried to do that over the years?
Well, two, and the Bureau has some problems. The American Banker had a story a few days ago in which they talked with a couple of hundred employees. There is a widespread perception in that agency that there is racial bias with respect to getting good performances and promotions and top managerial jobs. And, you know, it's a new agency, and that's not something they can tolerate. So we tried to get to NTEU on the air. Since they are negotiating, they felt they couldn't talk about it.
Right.
And this is an agency that's looking for racial discrimination in the banking industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to have it internal in your own agency, or at least the perception of it.
That's a bad place to start.
So, you know, it's already illegal. It's already out of the rules. So thinking, I believe, is that what NTEU is trying to negotiate is not no more racial discrimination. That's already against every rule,
mm-hmm.
but maybe a good grievance process to make sure that it doesn't creep in somehow at the Bureau.